Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Neil. I'm so excited about our guest today.
I am too. We had him on before. Ed is such a motivational guy. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, Ed Smith, who had a baseball career and then switched to football. I don't know anyone who's ever done that before. And so that's going to be interesting to talk about. But is a podcast host and a radio host, a personality, bigger than life, most wonderful guy. And we are just thrilled to have you, Ed. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure, Kim and Neil. And I've been looking forward to getting down with you guys. And, it's my pleasure to jump on with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I know Believe is part of your gig. I mean, you just have so much going. So I would like to know, though, how does a guy go from baseball? So in high school, did you play everything?
Yeah, I was a three sports star. And this is dating myself, but I was the 1987 Tri-State Athlete of the Year. And that was New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, I think it was. And, all-state baseball player, honorable mention, All-American tight end. And I also was a all-South Jersey forward as far as basketball. Baseball was my first love. That was the way I wanted to go. Everyone wanted me to play football as well. When it all came down to it, I had signed my letter of intent to go to the University of North Carolina, go Tar Heels. And I was going to play on a full baseball scholarship and do football on the side. That was my demand. I didn't want to go on a football scholarship because they have a 10 to then lead you that direction and take baseball away from you. So I was going to play baseball, football on the side, and was all signed, sealed, and delivered. And then out of nowhere, the White Sox drafted me in the seventh round of the 87 amateur draft, a little haggling back and forth with them. I had college put into my contract via my mom. She didn't want me to give up that education. So I took less money, put education into the contract, and was, convinced by the White Sox that that was the route I should go. And that's how I kind of bypassed, college and jumped right into the professional ranks 2 days after graduating high school in 1987 out of Pemberton Township High School. So that was the beginning of my professional journey all those years ago.
You know, it's very interesting, Ed. We talked about this on the show before that, the journey of going and doing something when you really are kind of just trying to understand who you are as a person. Because I want to kind of go more of a deeper question, making choices in life, the choices we make, and then we look back at those choices. When you jumped and said, I'm going to jump right from high school to the pros, did you have any second thoughts?
I wouldn't say second thoughts. I was just questioning, my passion was to play professional baseball. I didn't know how soon I was going to do it. Obviously, the original thought was go to college. You do that for 3+ years, depending on what happens as far as then you get drafted. And when the White Sox drafted me as high as they did and then pursued me as vigorously as they did, their thought was, why wait 3 years to get to where you want to go anyway? This is what it's all about. And, trying to make those decisions. I was barely 18 when they drafted me. I was turned 18 June 5th. Of that year, and the draft was that same week. So you're talking about trying to make decisions for your life at such an early age. And it was, I had some sleepless nights, but one of the things with my mom and dad, they didn't want to interfere in the decision, but they did want to guide me. So their thing was, look, it's your decision. Here are the pros, here are the cons. And, so it was all up to me. And I had some sleepless nights being a teenager, hadn't yet even graduated from high school. I still had a couple weeks to go. And, I remember even to this day, Neil, I'd gotten to a point because it was like, you got to make a decision. At least as far as the White Sox were concerned. I remember one night just like going to the movies by myself. I just needed some time to think. I went to this movie. Can't remember the movie was, but I just needed some like peace and quiet to feel, to kind of see where my heart and my mind were. And, took some thought and, prayed on it. I thought about it and something led me in that direction. I couldn't tell you the exact moment that I realized it, but it was something that was in my heart. I always knew I wanted to be a professional baseball player, and the time felt right, and I did that. And a lot of people, after the way they saw how my career went, obviously I ended up playing football as it was in the end. It was like, well, do you regret making that? I said, no, there's no regrets. I rode the path that was meant for me. I had some amazing experiences in minor league baseball and as a football player. So, in the beginning, no, it was like I said, it was a lot of tension within, but I think I made the right decision for myself.
Yeah, well, here you are today and have had this incredible life, incredible story, journeys along the way. So apparently it was the right decision. But I have kids, and I'm thinking about when my boys turned 18 years old, and if I 2 days later had to say, see ya, you're whatever, you're going to the big leagues, and you never have probably lived away from home before.
Nope.
Never had to deal with, maybe even your own meals before. Probably, I don't know if you had to do your own laundry. So, what was that like for you, that transition?
That was a shock to the system, Kim. And interestingly enough, after we're done here, I'm going to go down and see my mom. I got to take care of a couple of things for her at the house. And I remember that day, and you got to flash backwards. It was a time before 9/11 where you could walk someone all the way to the gate to the plane, And I remember I, 2 days after I walked down to get my, high school diploma, 2 days later, my mom and dad are rushing me to the Philadelphia airport. I had no idea what was in front of me. My brother, 2 years younger than me, was in the car. We're racing to get to the airport on time. We get my bags checked. We get to the gate, and that's when it hit us all. We're a loving family, always been tight. And I, at one point, it was the lady was telling me, you got to get on the plane. You got to get on the plane. I looked at my mom and she started bawling. And she just turned and ran into the bathroom, crying, crying, crying. And I remember my dad and my brother were all hugging. And, one of the flight attendants, sir, you got to get on the plane. So I get on the plane, and I'm crying. I'm not knowing what's ahead of me. And I remember, this is crazy. I had just signed my contract. It was good money way back in 1987. I remember getting on the plane. I'm sitting there, I'm wiping tears. I got about 2.5 hour flight down to Florida. And like I said, don't know what to expect. And one of the flight attendants comes on the plane. And she says, "Excuse me, sir, this is for you." My dad gave me a $20 bill,
Oh.
just in case I needed anything, And I remember just sitting there. That was love. That's like, and I just remember getting on the flight. I get down to Florida. Then, as you mentioned, Kim, I had no idea. My mom, she cooked for us. She cleaned. At some point, when my brother and I were early teenagers, she got tired of doing laundry. All the time, she took us both downstairs and said, "This is how you do laundry. From this point, both of you're responsible for your own laundry. I'm tired of this, So I didn't know how to do laundry. Didn't know how to cook, didn't know how to pay bills, none of this stuff. And off I was. And I remember landing down in Florida and went from being a high school student to a professional athlete in a matter of 2 days. The whole thing was a debacle in the beginning. My version of like cooking was taking a jar of ragu, pouring it over some pasta, and that was it. There was no like seasoning, no nut, I'm a very good cook now. I consider myself a great cook, but the early stages, I had no idea what it was all about. Steak was putting in there, high temperature, cook it as fast as possible, cook it as dark as possible, and eat it. And it was a wonder. I was like, well, how come this doesn't taste like bombs? And what I learned over the years, but those early stages, it was just like you would imagine. It was like a bird being tossed out of the nest, being told, okay, now you're on your own. Go fly, go find your own food, go pay your own bills, everything. It was comical. But the thing was, I had other guys who were in the same boat as myself, some a little seasoned because they'd gone to college. But some of my best friends today, here we are 30 plus years later, are those guys that I did that first part of my journey with. And we have some of the greatest stories. And we laugh sometime about how green we were. But oh my God, it was so funny in the beginning.
You talk about the road. One thing I remember in our story before, because I'm like trying to definitely pinpoint our listeners that always listen to this. And you definitely will be telling Kim on her TV show a little bit more and deeper, because we only have a short time with you. But when I think about specifically enough, that time on the road and time that probably it was more spending time with on the road with your teammates more than enjoying the politics of the game. That's where, that's what caught made you walk away, the politics. So reminisce us more about how you wouldn't even have survived in this industry if it wasn't for you building these relationships, and how important relationship building is.
Oh, absolutely. I think back to those days. If I'd have been on my own trying to figure certain things out, and we had guys who had a little more experience than us. Obviously, I went down to rookie ball my first summer, and then the following year I was on this team in South Bend, Indiana, and we had, all of a sudden I went from playing 30 games in high school to the next year I had a 142 game schedule. I had to manage that. I had two roommates, Ray and Nandi, and like I said, these are guys that I'm in touch with to this day. Even something as simple as going to a grocery store, and we all had our different likes. So I liked strawberry ice cream. Ray liked just vanilla. Nani liked chocolate. So we'd get three different ice creams, three different types of sodas, drinks. We all had different foods we liked. So we would go shopping together, and imagine this cart with three 18 to 22-year-old, because Ray was a little older than us. We'd have three shopping carts sometime all filled with stuff. We'd go home, put it in the refrigerator, and then, we'd have a week at home, 2 weeks on the road. We'd come back, we had to figure out laundry. We had to figure out, paying bills together. It was so comical, and with no assistance. When you're in college, you get residents, in the dorm to help you do this. We had apartments, we had electric bills, we had cable bills, we had, like I said, food. And there was no way that I would have survived this on my own. Later in my career, because after spending 9 years in the minor leagues, I had gotten to a point after 5 or 6 years where it was, okay, I'm a grown man now. It's time for me to do this on my own. I remember the first apartment I got when we broke camp and we get to the city. I think it was Orlando, Florida in 94. That was the first year I said, okay, no more roommates. I'm making enough money where I'm going to do this on my own. And that was kind of my first experience. But you take those baby steps, but there's no way that without those early relationships and early fumblings that I could have done that on my own. And it was, like I said, it was those are the relationships that I remember the most because they were so valuable. And those guys, we laugh and cry all the time how we really helped each other out and how we were family. And that's why I love some of those guys so much to this day, because we all went through together in those lower levels.
Yeah, wow. Relationships really are the thing, right? The most important thing in life are the people in your life. And so it's really cool to hear that. You did mention that 5 or 6 years later, you finally went out on your own. So I don't know if you're a slow learner or you just love those guys so much you didn't want to leave them or what. But yeah, that had to be quite the ride.
Most
But
of the
then,
time, it was for economic purposes. I made playing in my legs, we didn't make a whole bunch of money, and it was always advantageous, especially when you think about it. We'd go to a city, we'd get a whole an apartment together, and half the year we were on the road. 142 game schedule, 71 of those days were on the road. So it made more sense in those early years, to kind of parse it out where, everybody took on some responsibility, cut a rent in thirds or whatever. I know some players, they did it all through their career. They'd have what, four, five, six guys in an apartment. I never got that deep. And like I said, then I got to a point where it was finally time to do it on my own. And I love that much better. But yeah, those early years, it was all about kind of
economic.
spreading it
Yeah.
out. Yeah.
Yeah,
All right.
definitely
So
makes sense.
we definitely going to promote the Believe podcast, but Kim has a question she asked every one of her guests on this podcast. Go ahead with that question, Kim.
Yeah, so Ed, yeah, everybody's got a story, right? So I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and passed away 6 weeks after that.
I'm so
And it
sorry to
made
hear
me question some things. And one of the things that made me question was love. Like, what is love really? What's the true meaning? And so I dedicated a year to do this eat, pray, love sort of experience, mostly in
Hmm.
Haiti, where I took 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. And I took one word or phrase a month to figure out what is love that is patient, what is love that is kind. And it blew my mind. And I think that any time you're in different situations, love can come to you in different ways. You know, you talk about your mama crying. That would have been me. I've been bawling my eyes out. And then talk about the relationship with these guys. What does love mean to you?
Wow, that's a deep question. That's a great question too, Kim. And first off, sorry for, obviously you have your journey and lost your husband and dealing with breast cancer yourself. So sorry for some of the things that you've experienced, and I know they've made you probably stronger in your faith and in your life. So for me, love, golly, I have two sons now. My first son was born in 1989, and it was one of those situations where initially I thought he and his mother and I, we were in love, and we're both 19 years old, we're gonna make this work, and it just didn't work out. And she ended up marrying another gentleman, leaving, taking my son, and I was without my son for so many years. And fast forward, I had my other son, just 13, he's 13 now, but just recently, my oldest son is 33 now. We kind of had a recommitment to each other after us, the two of us not being in each other's lives for a long time, and just because of circumstance. And for me, love is, oh my, it's so deep. The fact that, I have my 13-year-old son who I get to see every day now, raised him from birth. My oldest son, we lost so many years, but for me, love is that bond. And I had that with my father and my mother. I just lost my father 4.5 years ago, and my mom, she's still here, and she's the anchor of the family. And there's so many, things that I've experienced in my life through my family together. But just recently, I've been so thankful to God for bringing my oldest son back into my life. And I recently told him that his grandfather, his pop-pop, would be so proud of what he and I are doing now, because he always wanted that for us. And I'll tell you real quick, my dad, he'll tell you, he would have told you he was not a perfect man, but he had love for all of us, and he called it unconditional love. And regardless of what my dad was going through, he was an alcoholic, he's drugs at points in his life, but he always was there for the family. And we are always there for him, and we all call it that unconditional love. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, we're there for you. And like I said, the fact that my oldest son and I are back together now, and I have my youngest son, and that those bonds, and I'm there to be there for them like my dad was there for us. I mean, to me, that's what love is all
Fantastic.
about. It's like I said, that bond. And
Fantastic. And now your podcast is on the Believe Podcast Network. What is it called again?
Believe in the Cardinals.
And you have a nationally syndicated radio show too. What is that called?
Yes, it's called the Easy Sports Talk Show. And that one has been, we've done it, we did it 6.5 years here locally in Arizona before getting the tap on the shoulder to take it national. So we're now in 35 states, 98 affiliates across the country, all the way out to Hawaii, every Florida up the coast. Believe in the Cardinals podcast, we do that twice a week during the season. And my partner and I, so we both do the radio show and the podcast and other things together.
All right, fantastic. We appreciate it, Ed. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome. All right, that was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.